Welcome back, friends. So let's define liturgy and worship within that lens of Christ. Remember, Christ is our measure. So liturgy, from the Greek word laos, meaning people, and ergon, meaning work, which is what Sarah rightly pointed out, in general refers to public service. That's how it was in the beginning. In the Christian tradition, grace building on nature or through a Christ lens, it is the participation of the people of God in the redemptive work of God through the public, that's going to be a key word here, public worship of the church. Sometimes the word liturgy is used as a synonym for the Mass, and Catechism 1069 through 1070 is where to, you know, for further reading. The liturgy is not about us, but it's about God, again, Christ the measure. Worship, the Old English for worship of honor, refers to the adoration and honor given to God. Worship, so worship may be private, when an individual personally chooses a time and place to adore God, or it can be public, when the liturgy and sacraments are celebrated by a group of people. Catechism 2096. So therein is sort of a bit of a difference and a bit of a similarity, right? Liturgy is a public affirmation of not, we're not affirming God, we're worshiping God, and whereas worship is a private, can be private. So we contrast, and part of definition, you define the word, then you look at contrasts. What are other types of liturgies and non-Christian? And I think that this is also somewhat instructive, because there is a universal need of people to gather publicly. And this was true, so we started back in the early Christian community. It would have been much easier for them to have all had their little private devotions, you know, a little me and Jesus moment. It would have been so much safer for them to have done that. But of course, they didn't. And I think it points in a way to people in general have this need to gather together for some sort of spiritual or transcendental purpose. Some theologians have considered the gathering around sports events as a type of worship. So they would point to these aspects of a sporting event. There are forms, rules, dress, there's public participation, there's the expectation of different ways of in being involved. You have your symbols, you have language, all of that are aspects of liturgy. So that was from, yes, also borrowing from Alcuin Reed. Mm-hmm. He's just fabulous. And of course, theological terms. Okay. So any thoughts there before we...
I think that is an interesting correlation, you know, to show people that on the same note, right? I was speaking to last week, my grandson was baptized, and there was a gentleman who had come to the baptism who was not Christian at all, but in his younger years had gone to a Catholic school. So he, you know, Jack, my son, is trying to, you know, just talk to him, have discussions with him about the faith and whatnot. And one of the things that he said that struck me was, you know, I'm not religious, but I appreciate, you know, if I was going to go to church, I would want to go to the Catholic Mass. And he talked about all of the things of the Catholic Mass that make it liturgical, right? That thing, that aspect that you just pointed out about, or worshipful, as it were, that you just pointed out in the sports team, right? I mean, like, why men are so drawn to that. And I thought, I was going to tell him, you know, what I think is interesting is that, on the contrary, you are extraordinarily religious. You want all of the all of the external vestiges of religiosity, but you lack faith. And that really is what you see in, particularly in these sports situations, right? All there is, it truly is a cult, not in the negative sense, but in the most positive sense of the term cult, right? A group, a body of believers who come together, who are culturally habituated to one another. And in that cultural habituation, they become like brothers, right? There becomes a band of brothers. You know, even to this day, if I'm walking down the street anywhere in the country and I see somebody wearing a Green Bay Packers hat, and maybe the same thing is true for you, if you see a Dallas fan, you're like, oh, there's my people, like, right? I can wave to him, and we can immediately strike up a conversation, right? So that enjoyment, or that natural bonhomie, you know, to use a French term, that draws man together, that camaraderie that is instilled through that communal gathering, is mimicked very, very strongly by that aspect of sports. But what is profoundly lacking there is supernatural faith, right? Supernatural hope and charity, right? Those are not there. They're parroted in a non-negative way, in a good way. Like when a child parrots your good behavior, you applaud them for that. And so I don't think that there's anything to disdain in that love of sports. It would just be great if we could actually use it, like you said, grace, the liturgy of the public life in ancient Greece, right? If we could use that, the positive aspects of that, to re-enculturate people to, you know, the authenticness, right? Grace building on nature. Man understands that relationship. He understands that language. He understands the uniform. He understands his team, right? So all of those things are positive things that could be built upon, that we really could use them kind of as a stepping stone to help restore the supernatural element that has been lost.
That is exactly right. That's right. All right, friends, in the next episode, let us take up the Old Testament and New Testament stances with regard to liturgy. And that will help us inform our understanding of a Catholic home. Till then, fides et ratio.